Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you for doing the things that you're doing in us. We thank you for what's going on in the world. It seems like things are being cleaned up in places. And we praise you for helping us to do that. We thank you, Lord, for all the help that has been coming to lock up these deep state criminals. And we praise you, Father, for helping us to do that and rooting these guys out, women that are anti-Christ people, actually just Satanists. And we thank you, Father, for rooting them out, finding a way to get rid of them. And we praise you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do tonight, Father. Lead us and guide us into this quantum faith. Quantum proves faith. Quantum physics proves faith. And it's just a wonderful study to me. And it just opens up our eyes a little bit deeper into the faith realm and what it means to speak and confess the word in the scientific realm. And Father God, we just praise you and glorify you for this particular study here, that we can grasp it in a natural way to understand the spiritual aspects of faith. Thank you, Father, for doing that for us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that you're going to answer tonight, because we know we have an open heaven. And we do all have faith. We have bold faith to believe that when we pray, and we believe what we prayed, it's going to happen. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for all the healings, too, that are taking place, even as we speak, that we've already prayed for today. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful meeting tonight. Good fellowship. And we're all come in here in one accord. And that's just to learn and to speak the things of you, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you for filling us all up with your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, for giving us all discernment, great discernment. And we thank you, Father, for bold faith. Thank you, Lord, for great wisdom also in each and every one of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing with us this evening. And Lord, those that will listen to it later, we ask that you bless them with wisdom and discernment as well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
Merle's nephew, we didn't know this until the other day, his one niece told him. Nephew Craig has been living, he had moved to Sarasota, Florida, which is south of Tampa. And he went through those two hurricanes. I don't know if he got out or what, but like the first one, his house was flooded. The second one, he lost the roof on his carport. And then here more recently, he was riding his bike and somebody pulled out in front of him, and he's like all beat up. That's all his niece told him. You know, he's supposed to be home for Thanksgiving, coming home for Thanksgiving, and he's seriously thinking about moving back home, back up here. I'm like thinking, yeah. Anyway. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. I believe, you know, you're sovereign and this is all to get his attention and let him not just chalk it up to the fact that, you know, well, I'm in Florida and these things are happening, you know, because I live in Florida. Well, Lord, he moved away from family and everything, which is kind of weird. But anyway, so, Lord, I just believe you're trying to get his attention and, Lord, help him to know that, you know, he wasn't put on this earth to live as he pleases. He was put on this earth to, take root in this earth and to sprout and grow and, become a son of God and, to would sprout and grow in him, Lord. And, I ask you to just, grant him repentance and belief in you, Lord. unto salvation. And just all this, Lord, just calls him to call out to you and seek you, Lord. Lord, I just ask you for your mercy and grace upon him, that he would just, you would heal him up quickly in a miraculous way, and that he can only say that it was you, Lord. And Lord, I know he's not totally uneducated in you. I know he's gone to church some in his lifetime, probably more when he was a kid. So Lord, just cause him to pick up your word and read your word and find out who you really are, and to know you and have an intimate relationship with you, Lord. Just have a relationship with you and really know you. And to know you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I just got a text earlier from Blake, and he said, have you talked to Chase? Seems like he's trying to chase God. And I just want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Chase, my grandson, and I praise you, Father, for the time that he and I had together as he was growing up. We were very close, and I thank you for those times, Lord, and it really hurt him when I left, but I ask, Lord, that you mend him, mend his ways, and turn him towards you, Father God, as it looks like you're doing. You're drawing him to him, Lord, to you, Lord, and I thank you, Father, for making this mighty man of God out of him, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for opening up the word to him, to see the revelations in front of him, and I thank you, Father, for touching his heart and bringing him into the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, he was 10 when I left, and good kid. No, my internet connection is not unstable. It is stable. Bless God, and it's going to be good all night long. Glory to God. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Teresa.
Sorry, I don't know how to get that yellow hand on there. So I have to raise my hand. my son Jesse and his wife Christina had taken care of a young man named Landon in his teenage years. He had been in a group home, and Jesse and Christina's son, Kai, had been friends with Landon and asked Christina and Jesse if Landon could come and live with them. And so now Landon has grown up and he is going to college, but Christina has had to take him, he doesn't have transportation yet. You know, he stays at the dorm. And so Christina had taken him to get an operation to get a cyst removed. And they've been there all day. And at the hospital, Jesse got worried because Christina wasn't home. And it turns out she's had to stay with Landon at the hospital. And so can we pray for Landon and make sure Christina gets home safely?
Sure. Yeah. Why did they keep him?
Huh?
Why did they keep him?
They might be keeping him. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. You want to pray and we'll believe with you?
Okay. So, Heavenly Father, I ask that you show me what you'd have me to pray. Lord, restore Landon to health. God, help him. I don't think he's ever had the Bible. I don't think he's ever had God's word. And he has such a sweet personality, such a sweet nature. And so, Lord, and you've watched him, you've taken him out of bad, evidently you took him out of a bad situation and you've been watching him and taking care of him, making sure that he grows up well taken care of. And Lord, now he's in his, getting into his adult years. So Heavenly Father, I ask that along with these prayers, that you draw him to yourself, that he's born again, cause him to be, by your workmanship, cover him with your blood atonement, Jesus Christ, that forgive his sins, take away his sins, although he's such a good kid, I don't know if he's sinning, but maybe on games or whatever, but Lord, wherever it is, take away any evil for him, restore him to your righteousness, restore him to yourself, restore him to yourself, because we were all as sheep gone astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So Lord, return him to you, make him your sheep, be his shepherd, and watch over him all his life, God, and get him going on the path that you have for him, with your direction, showing him what you would have him to do. And, Lord, the cyst that's growing in him, that was growing in him, God, whatever is causing that, take it away. I don't know if he's had the shot. He might have had the shot. So, Lord, just with your healing, he was healed. Just cleanse him, purify him, and get him going on his way. That you ordering his with you ordering his footsteps. In your name, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. We just come against this cyst on him. We command that thing to drop and go in Jesus' name. You are not allowed on him. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we break the power of the enemy that's keeping him from coming into the kingdom. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that he's going to come running in when the time's right. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for Jesse that's helping him and keeping him. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. And we ask that you bless in them too. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? As y'all know, when we speak these words of faith, those particles are already started working. They're working right now. The faith is working. Our faith is going out, and this kid is going to come into the kingdom. There's nothing else he can do. Has to. Because we believe. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Just like Moses. All right. Anybody else? Got a prayer request. Lord, I ask that you open up everybody's minds tonight to assimilate the wisdom that's coming out of this little booklet. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the quantum physics does prove faith. And we thank you, Lord, that faith is from you. And if it's just the same way that you created the universe, the same way that this faith works, you just speak it and believe it. It's done. And it makes no difference how long it takes, Father God. We know that if we endure in our faith to the end, it's going to happen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, we thank you for taking how can I say this diplomatically? I just command unbelief and doubt to go from anybody here that may have it. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for strengthening our faith as we read and study and talk about this faith that coming out of this book. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I tell you, when I read this book, and I've been reading it, I've already read it a number of times, but every time I do, I get something else out of it. And it's just amazing to me. It's just struck me as something that'll help a lot of people if you just read it and meditate on it and see what it says, because it's faith. It's nothing but faith. But it's being proven by scientists who are coming into this quantum. First time I read about quantum, I said, that's faith. That's faith. And it is. It's faith. All right, Andrew, or Ben, one of y'all, one of you S's.
I have this 16-minute video. I don't know if you guys remember it. It had to do with flowers. One he said he loved. The other he said
this is Japanese flower.
And the other and the Japanese water experiment.
The rice.
Okay. Yeah, let's show that.
Guys, you want to?
Yeah, just a minute. Let me give you wherewithal to get it shared. Do you know how to do it?
I'm looking for it.
You got it in the real player.
Down at the bottom it says share. Just hit that and then hit the two little boxes on the right hand side there also. It says audio and sound. What you eating, Julie? Yeah, that's good. It must be chocolate. Somebody's beating on the table. See it quit.
Yeah, that's it. And then you go to the bottom. See the green? Share screen. There you go.
My press now then.
Share. Share.
Yeah.
The site will be able
to see. Well, which one do I press?
Click that.
This?
Yeah. Click share now. Oh, I don't know. It just went right away to my screen whenever I did it.
Oh, I guess I can't do it then.
What's that about ice cream?
Oh, real player. Share. There you go. Oh.
Okay, I think we ought to do it now.
Okay, you guys see us?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Sir. It's coming.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, okay.
There's 15 pictures up there.
Yeah. Here we go.
Let there be light. And there was light. I want to remind y'all of the power of the mind. You can think yourself into a depression. You can think your way into stress. You can think your way into misery, frustration. There's so much more power in the mind than you probably like to give yourself credit for. Change your mind. Decide that you love yourself enough to not surround yourself with people, things, and situations that can have your mind continuing to spiral down this negative and dysfunctional train.
Once I feed you with an idea that you are susceptible to something, look, I can feed you with an idea that this pill that we just got from the pharmaceutical company, it's the greatest, best thing for your issue. And I give you this pill, and you get better. And then later you find out it was a sugar pill. And everybody goes, yeah, that's called the placebo effect. I go, what does it really mean? I said, you didn't get healed by the pill. You got healed by the belief in the pill. And I go, well, yeah, that's what placebo is all about. And at least one-third, minimum of one-third of all medical intervention is it's a placebo effect that where the healing comes from. Everybody goes, yeah, I know about the placebo. I go, yeah, but that's a result of positive thinking. What about negative thinking? And this is what we don't talk about, but the reality is it's equally powerful in regard to affecting your biology, S is positive thinking, but it works in the opposite direction. A negative thought is called the nocebo effect. It can cause any disease, and you can die. If you believe you're going to die, you can die from the belief. So we really have to watch out, because a psychologist would tell us 70% or more of our thoughts are negative and redundant, replaying the same negative thoughts. I go, if thoughts have nothing to do with it, fine. But thoughts, positive or negative, shape our biology. And all of a sudden it says, well, now it's time to wake up, because our negative thinking is manifesting a negative life experience.
Words are extremely powerful. You actually create your own laws and limitations for yourself using the words that you use most often. The greatest teacher to ever live, the carpenter from the plains of Galilee, once said, by your words, you are justified, and by your words, you are condemned. He understood the spiritual properties words possessed. Rumor has it, the prime creator actually spoke the universe into existence, also known as cymatics or vibration. And remember, you are a piece of the creator and possess the same creative qualities. Never use phrases like, this is killing me, or this makes me sick. Though lighthearted, those are actual commands that are stirring energy in motion.
From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
There are high energy words, and there are low energy words. High energy words attract to you positive people, positive situations, positive outcomes, positive circumstances. They also raise your health and the health and wellness of those listening.
From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment.
Low energy words do the exact opposite. They attract all manner of negative situations and circumstances, and they have also been proven to lower your immune system, making you more susceptible to illness. Dr. Emoto's water experiment proved that words and intention actually have a physical impact on water.
Dr. Emoto's laboratory does research on water samples which are subjected to various forms of outside influence. The impressions made upon the water are recorded by swiftly freezing it in a cryogenic chamber. Somebody said, thank you to this water. Excuse me. You disgust me. Idiot. I hate you. Love. Hope. Soul. Emoto Masaru's numerous experiments aimed at finding the word that cleanses water most powerfully have shown that it is not just one word, but a combination of two. Love and gratitude.
And see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech.
And
Jesus said that your words are spirit.
The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the spirit and life. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not.
Faith comes by hearing. It's like when we say, I can do this, and then I set out to accomplish it. That it is the very words that when heard, because faith comes by hearing, that when you hear yourself saying these words, I can do this, that you actually can get the courage and strength and the wherewithal to get something done. That's why it's not just important to think good thoughts. You have to speak those thoughts. If you want things to come out and you want them to be manifested into the world, if you have a thought within you, you need to speak that thought out. You need to create by speaking the very thing that you had within you. You need to bring somehow into this world and make it so. Think of it this way. A thought that is within you is not in this world. The thought that is within you is within you. It is only until you speak that thought and you give it a vibration in this world that it actually manifests. The scriptures say that God spoke and everything became. The scriptures say that every word that we speak will be judged accordingly. That we will be held accountable for everything that we say and everything that we think. This is why we must take every thought captive. Every thought that comes into our mind, it has the potential to create that thought in the world if manifested by the words that you speak. Your thoughts create, your words make them become the very thing that you believe that they will be.
We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Dr. Emoto has conducted another interesting experiment. He placed rice into three glass beakers and covered it with water. And then every day for a month, he said, thank you to one beaker, you're an idiot to the second. And the third one, he completely ignored. After 1 month, the rice that had been thanked began to ferment, giving off a strong, pleasant aroma. The rice in the second beaker turned black. And the rice that was ignored began to rot.
want is that we're going to say good, beautiful, positive things to the good apple and bad, nasty things to the bad apple. So I just took out my apples from the bad apple jar and the good apple jar. And as you can see, this is amazing. Even for the most skeptical ones out there, you have to admit that this is, and I have to admit, I was one of those that was a little skeptical, and I am in awe at what I'm seeing right now.
Try using 25 containers, or even 50 containers. This works, and it shows that our thoughts literally shapes our lives.
I love you, Strawberry. Love, 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 love.
I hate you, Strawberry. Hate, 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 hate.
Love, 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 love. Hate, 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 hate.
That looks completely normal. Look at the mold. Disgustingness on the hate there. Look at this thing.
People do things that annoy, disappoint, and anger. Though we cannot look into another's heart, we assume that we know a bad motive or even a bad person when we see one. This topic of judging others could actually be taught in a two-word sermon. When it comes to hating, gossiping, ignoring, ridiculing, holding grudges, or wanting to cause harm, please apply the following. Stop it.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
Haven't we all, at one time or another, meekly approached the mercy seat and pleaded for grace? Haven't we wished with all the energy of our souls for mercy, to be forgiven for the mistakes we have made and the sins we have committed? Forgiving ourselves and others is not easy. In fact, for most of us, it requires a major change in our attitude and way of thinking. Even a change of heart. This mighty change of heart is exactly what the gospel of Jesus Christ is designed to bring about.
I'm truly... sorry.
Let us be kind. Let us forgive. Let us talk peacefully with each other. Let us do good unto all men. Allowing us to see others the way our Heavenly Father sees us, as flawed and imperfect mortals who have potential and worth far beyond our capacity to imagine. Because God loves us so much, we too must love and forgive. Remember, in the end, it is the merciful who obtain mercy.
Believe it or not, each word that you speak is an affirmation. You are always affirming that you want more of it into your life by speaking it, by placing your attention on it, by talking about it. Since that's the case, only talk about the joyous things that you would like to have and experience. And before you know it, those words will become an everyday part of your vocabulary, and your life will soon follow suit.
Stop sharing.
Amen.
You guys there?
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, that was good. That's,
you heard it?
Yeah, we heard it.
I didn't know if I was sharing right or
Yeah.
They're just sitting there in silence.
So, you see, since every word is that mustard seed, and you're going to an atomic level now in this quantum thing.
That's the big thing.
Yeah, it's a creative word.
Yep.
It's got to create that whole new mind that we're supposed to have. You know, and it's tough sometimes, you know, be transformed with the renewing of your mind, you know. You got to present your body. The Apostle Paul beseeches you to present your body. A sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing unto God, your spiritual service. And you got to be transformed in that mind of yours to have the love in there and the love in your heart. So that seed of love never fails. That's what we want from our Father, is that love, especially the truth of and the faith that belongs with it, to walk in that love, to walk in the truth. That's Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. It's tough. And you think about how much more you need to have. And only God could do it, so. Praising glory to God.
What I thought and I really like about that is very beginning when he was showing him, not the very beginning, but when he was his experiment with the water and just water molecules and love and gratitude and how that affects, he said it cleans the water. It said it was cleaning the water. Love and gratitude were cleaning the water. You know, and what it looked like after prayer, you know, and that's why the Lord, you know, tells us to be grateful, you know, in everything with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God, right? With thanksgiving, you know, with thanksgiving. But, you know, we pray over our food, pray over our water, we pray over our air, and it's clean with, you know, being grateful and thanking God and praising God and just telling God how much I love him and, you know, and just thank you for giving me, you know, this clean air and clean water and good, healthy food and, you know, that is good for my body and just being grateful for it and telling it, I don't know, do you tell the food I love you? I don't know. But,
yeah,
you know,
I just
love this
bologna,
right, Michael? Amen. Anyhow, I really loved that because it was just the water, the molecules were just amazing, you know, and that was just really something that resonated with me, you know, because we were supposed to drink the clean water, the pure water of the word, Jesus' words, or water and their life. And yeah, a lot of scriptural truth in that. Thanks for sharing that, Andrew. I haven't watched that for a long time.
Yeah. What kind of hit me, Andrew, was what happens when you talk to your children in a negative way? Same thing. They get rotten.
You know, it's when your brothers and sisters call you that name, you know, because you're the youngest one. Or, you know, that name that they would call you to get you going or something, you know.
Yeah.
The goat key instead of the lamb key, going and starting your innards there. And it's kind of tough, you know, because, you know, everyone had a sibling. Well, I did. My son here has. And I know they used to do all really good things with each other. And, yeah, so, you know, sometimes you think you live too long when you watch a thing like that. Because all the stuff, you know, it's this mind game thing, too, you know. Because at the same time when you're battling something crazy going on in your head, some temptation, and you're trying to speak something nice and beloved out of your mouth, but this thing is still going on in your mind. And you go, I have to grab a hold of that, get rid of that before I can speak. And, or if you have to speak to a crowd of people and they're all coming against you because they're your work colleagues or everything or whatever, or, you know, they'll say, oh, there's Andrew. He found Jesus. Let's get him. You know, and they'll do that stuff to you. And then if you don't get any instruction on this kind of stuff, you know, you can go wacko, you know, and God has to save you after you're saved. Praise God.
Amen. Some people are asking, do you have a link? Can you put the link to that up there in the chat?
No. So it was on YouTube, and it was eventually taken off YouTube. My dad happened to download it off of YouTube before they took it off.
It's not available anymore.
Yeah. I don't know if...
This happened last time when I played it, too. I got some real old stuff, you know. I just keep it, you know, and then they throw it off the internet because it's probably too good.
Okay. Barbara, you say you have... Here, Barbara's got it up there.
She's got it.
She's got a link? Well, I hope it's the right link, and I hope it's the same video, because...
I want that.
Because I tried to find it again, and I just couldn't find it anywhere.
Oh, your computer closed up.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, my bad.
All right, let me get that. Copy the link. Okay, I got it.
I found another one. It's like 45 minutes. This is by who was that? The Lion of Judah.
That's the motivational people.
Yeah. So this is like a 45-minute one.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and save it. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to say? That says not available. All right. I like the ones that gives a visual about love and hate, or the other one, whatever it was, you know, one positive and one negative. And it physically shows you what happens when you speak in the positive or in the negative. So the Lord tells us to be careful how we speak. And that's something we need to bear in mind and be physically aware of the things that we say. Sometimes, you know, I've caught myself doing it in jest, and it comes out negative. And I need to be careful as to what I even joke about. Amen. All right, anybody else got a comment on that film? That's a good film, Andrew. Thank you very much. Anybody got a prayer request or would like to pray about something before we get into the Wade, the booklet? Okay, we're on page 15. Limiting beliefs. Can everybody hear me okay? Is my volume okay? Amen. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. I hate you. You die. That ladybug. Limiting beliefs are negative thoughts or ideas about ourselves and life itself. They can be based on past experiences, societal norms, or other factors influencing us. They can be incredibly dangerous when they prevent us from realizing our full potential and limit our ability to experience the things intended for us. Many scientific studies have proven how debilitating limiting beliefs can be. One study done by the Yale School of Public Health found that older adults who held negative beliefs about aging, such as being less capable than younger adults, had a higher risk of developing Alzheimer's disease than those who held an optimistic viewpoint on aging. I hear that all the time. I hear it all the time, you know. I'm just too old to do that. No, you're not. No, you're not. You can go ahead and do it. I never have done that, and I don't think David has either. Another journal, Psychology of Sport and Exercise, reported that research showed that athletes with limiting beliefs about their abilities paid the price for it. Same thing in everyday life. Those who thought they weren't as skilled as their competitors performed more poorly and were more likely to give up on challenges than those who had more positive beliefs about their abilities. Research published in Psychosomatic Medicine found that people who held negative beliefs about their ability to cope with stress, such as believing that they were not resilient or didn't have effective coping skills, had poor health outcomes, including higher levels of inflammation and higher rates of chronic diseases. A study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin found that students who held fixed beliefs about intelligence, such as believing that their intelligence was a fixed trait that couldn't be improved through effort or practice, had a lower academic achievement and were more likely to give up on challenging academic tasks than those who held more growth-oriented beliefs about intelligence. Ooh, that's a biggie. That's a biggie. Limiting beliefs. I'll tell you why it's a biggie, because, you know, some parents, they got rejection and all of this stuff, and they'll say, you're just not going to be, you're not going to amount to nothing if you don't do this. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. You got to do this, you know, instead of encouraging when they do get a victory. That's the way you ought to do it. You ought to just love on them, encourage them every step of the way. Limiting beliefs can negatively affect you in many ways, including the way you express your faith. Well, I just don't have any faith. Well, you're calling God a liar. God says he's given you all the faith you need. All you got to do is exercise it. Limiting beliefs are based on lies. And he said this about faith. He said you can have the faith the size of a quark. yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
You see, I sometimes wonder, when you said that there, could that have been the temptation and the attacker, the devil, right there, opening it up, saying, oh, you don't have that, you know? And sometimes you just splare it out of your mouth just too soon, you know? And yeah. You're supposed to take that imagination in control, you know? To use your authority to tread upon that serpent trying to put something in your head. So, they attack the mind. A serpent's poison, when it bites you, it's going to attack your mind, and it's going to fill you in with all these negative, crazy words. And if you're around a person who criticizes constantly, then that will make you a critic, you know? you might get a good job as a critic for these movies or something, but that's not what you want, you know, because you gotta have this mind in love with God so much that it transfers to the heart, to the soul, and to what you're doing with your hands and where you're walking, your strength, the very thing you're doing. Just like the love, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all, you know, don't let even a question of what your heart is, you know, don't let that come into your mind from the negative. From the aspect of that one that wants to destroy your heart. You know, that the one who doesn't want you to have love in your heart, so that you would not even be able to question what love in your heart is supposed to be. And there is so many crazinesses that this dark side tries to do to us that it gets some people trying to help a brother out of something, and they just don't know what happened to him or how to get through to him, you know. That's what the discernment is needed for, that, you know, for the more mature people to discern what the heck is going on here, you know, because it's completely contrary to anything that is holy. And this is what you tend to hear a lot nowadays. Anyway.
Amen. I can't tell you how many times I've had people tell me, well, I just don't have enough faith. I just don't. Well, you're speaking what you want. You're speaking what you're going to get. All you need to do is say, would you help me? Would you believe with me? Instead of admitting that you don't have any faith, because God gave you the same amount of faith He gave everybody else. You just have to exercise it.
You know, that there was the one where the water was during prayer and then before prayer and after prayer, and it was two completely different colors even. So,
yeah.
So, I don't know. Sometimes maybe people come to you and say that kind of stuff. I don't know. Maybe you need to just take them to the corner and say, hey, let's pray or something.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Go ahead, Missy.
I'm sorry. I can't find where you're at. The way I have it, for some reason, I couldn't bring it up on my tablet. And now I had to go to my phone, and it doesn't have pages.
I'm on page 16.
Mine doesn't have pages. I can't go by that.
Okay. The subtitle I'm under is Limiting Beliefs.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay.
And listen. I'm on paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm on the fifth one.
A study published? Is that what it, where you're at?
No, I'm on limiting beliefs, the one below it.
Well, you see where it's limited? It says limiting beliefs where it's underlined?
Just below the one you just said. The paragraph after the one you just said.
A study published? Okay, I get you. I see. Okay, thanks.
I'm not going to say what I was thinking.
It doesn't show a whole lot.
Okay. All right. I understand.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Limiting beliefs can negatively affect you in many ways, including the way you express your faith. Limiting beliefs are based on lies and are kryptonite to super faith. Does anybody know what kryptonite is? Superman could not handle kryptonite. It took all of his power away from him. So kryptonite will take all of your faith away from you if you believe those lies that the enemy tells you. Go ahead, Julie.
The kryptonite, it made him weak. Mm-hmm. It truly made him weak. He was limited there. And so, yeah, so limiting our beliefs make us weak in our faith. You know, that's how I read that, you know.
Yeah.
Debbie had her hand up.
Did I just say that? Are y'all having trouble hearing me? Okay, I thought I just said that, but anyway. Go ahead, Debbie. I'm having trouble understanding, so no, I'm not. In Jesus' name, I can understand every word y'all say. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Debbie.
Didn't see my hand up just before you went back into this, but about the water being yellow, before you pray and after you pray, or how about if you don't pray? Because I've been trusting God and using my water here, and it's been great. I fill up my glass, whatever I'm going to do, and I put my finger in it. I say, Lord, thank you for this water. I think it's blessed and sanctified for my use. Well, I put a cup of tea water in the microwave today for some tea. I took it out. I hadn't prayed over it or anything, and it was yellowish. What is this?
Oh, my.
Nothing was in the cup. I just rinsed the cup. It was a fine cup. And so I dumped it out and filled it up with water, and it was... It seemed okay when I put it in the mic. When I took it out, I noticed it was yellowish. I wasn't going to drink that. Was that something that I was very, you know, you could really see. And so I prayed over the next one and it came out fine.
Yeah. What did you have on your finger? I'm just kidding you, Debbie.
Nothing on your
finger. Praise God. So you filter your water with your finger.
With prayer.
I know. I'm just saying.
But I do.
Yeah. Well, praise God. That's a good way to do it because ain't everybody got a water filter, do they? Except this. I like Debbie's way of doing it. Absolutely.
Blessing my body in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, I've been out there by the water company so many times. There's a big old sign there that says, we put fluoride in our water. Like they're proud of it. I've threatened once or twice to stop in there and say, do you understand what fluoride is? Everybody knows what fluoride is. It's not something that stoutens your teeth because it don't. It kills your brain. You go, yeah. Well, it kills your brain if you believe that. Nope, I don't believe it. Fluoride's good for you. But I like what Debbie does. I just stick your finger in it and pray over it. All right.
You're doing what's going to happen now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you stick your finger and pray on it, you know it's going to, because you're going to drink it, because you know it's good, right? That's a good way of doing it. I hadn't thought of that, Debbie. Okay, I'll just put me a 5-gallon bucket out there and stick my finger in there and pray over it. Bless God, we'll have 5 gallons of good water. All right, anybody else got a comment or would like to ask a question? Let me tell you something about faith. Don't ever admit that you don't have any faith. You can ask someone to help you pray. You can ask someone to pray with you and believe with you. Any of those things. Or ask questions about faith if you don't understand what it is. Faith is just trusting God. That's what it is. It's just trusting God. Do you trust God? Well, yeah, I trust God. Well, then you don't have any unbelief and doubt. Because we're going to get into something here a little bit later. It's really going to prove that. Really going to prove it. Yeah, Missy.
Well, I've always looked at it as, do you believe what God's word says? Yeah. Does God lie? Let God be found true. Let every man be a liar. Uh-huh. You know, God is not a man. He should lie. So no. Yeah, I believe his word, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. How I've always looked at it.
Do you love God? And if you love God, you'd be studying the word, right? You're being obeying the word, and the word says when you pray and you believe what you pray, you shall have it.
Say, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering what that water would have looked like if God said love and gratitude.
Woo! Well, that's the same thing, because God lives in you, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Andrew. That's right. All right, Joe.
Well, it's really simple. You're just thinking about, you're sitting here after you eating something, you phone a friend. You phone him, you talk a bit, you put down the phone. Well, you did that by faith. You did nothing else. You did it by faith. You believe you're going to phone, and you phone him, you talk to him. Of course, you did it by faith. In other words, by expression of just, you blessed have to believe now in God. You already did phone him, and you put the phone down, but now you must believe God for doing it. In other words, you're doing it by faith. Everything must be by faith. If you find a friend, why not do the same with God? Because God says to do everything. He's made you. He's made everything for you. Or just think it, if you're doing anything by faith, why not trust God as well? Because you're doing it by faith.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Do you believe you're saved? Yeah. If you believe that you're saved and you know that you're saved, faith works the same way. That is faith. Just believe that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. Now, sometimes he doesn't do it immediately. A lot of times he doesn't do it immediately. But all you have to do is endure in your faith until it shows. And don't sit there and say, well, I'm waiting on it to manifest. No, you're not. It's already manifested. It's already manifested. That's the mindset you ought to have. It's already manifested. You're looking. I forget. No, I don't. Anyway, limiting beliefs can negatively affect you in many ways, including the way you express your faith. I'm going to go over it again. Limiting beliefs are based on lies and are kryptonite to super faith. They must be dealt with if you're going to realize the things that have been divinely intended for you. Limiting beliefs have developed over a long time. Usually they aren't instantly disarmed, but it is possible at any moment, to begin to align ourselves with ultimate reality so that they gradually dissipate until they finally disappear. I think he's talking about strongholds there, don't you? Those things that we've built up in our minds over the years that have hindered our walk. And as we study and we read and we understand the Word of God, those walls come down and God shows up there as that stronghold. It might be a good time for you to consider a related question. What divine plans for your life might be thwarted or even stalled by limiting beliefs that hold you back? Moses found the strength and courage he needed, and so can you. Now, I want you to listen to what happened to Moses, because this is something much, much bigger than most of us will ever run into. But it might not be, but listen to it. It's important to note that finding freedom from limiting beliefs that have debilitated us for a long time isn't instantly and magically attained. Instead, growth in this area is a learning process. That's what we just got through saying. It was one that Moses had to have reinforced repeatedly as he led the nation of Israel through the desert toward the promised land. He faced situations over and over again that put him to the test. For instance, there was the day when the people found themselves trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's advancing army, thinking their destruction was imminent. They were filled with terror and desperation, and they cried out to Moses, who in turn found a private place. and express the same fear to God. He was still battling the limiting belief that he wasn't equipped to handle certain circumstances in which he found himself. How many people would have just cut and run, every man for yourself, get out of here, you know, instead of waiting and asking God, help us, Lord. What are we to do? In his grace, God spoke to Moses and encouraged him. Consequently, Moses inched forward, step by step, determined to move through his limiting beliefs with an immature but indisputable faith that God would bless him. Having moments earlier been forced to face his own fears, he said to the cowering Israelites, Exodus 14:13-14, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Start declaring the positive. When you come into those type of situations, can I just show you something here right quick? What if somebody came up and said, with a gun pointed at you, and said, give me all your money. And you look at him and you grunt at him and say, Jesus loves you. He says, I don't care if he does love me, give me your money. I said, and you tell him this. Here's what I've thought about this many times in my mind. And if he comes up to you and you say, well, let me tell you something about what you might be trying to do here. And you talk to him and you say, now, I'm a child of God. And if it's not my time to go, and you pull that trigger, that bullet ain't going to hit me. It's going to come back and hit you. And you're going to die. And you're going to go to your daddy's place, which is hell. Now, you better think seriously about what you're doing here. So you've already started putting a doubt in his mind. But you're putting positive confession in your mind that he can't kill you unless it's your time. And you have no fear because you know God's with you all the time. Is that right? That's right. Yeah, Julie.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, about Moses and what you had just read there, where they were trapped by between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, you know, advancing on them and everything. And everyone was filled with terror and desperation. It's like, what are we going to do? You know, and how quickly, I was just thinking how quickly the natural mind, you know, automatically starts going back to what it naturally does, and where they had just seen God save them and bring them out of, you know, Egypt and did all those incredible miracles of the power. They saw the power of God. They saw him do all these things. And okay, now we're facing another enemy. He brought us out here to kill us. We're, you know, we're really going to go die in the water. We're going to get Pharaoh's army and kill us. You know, they just like, it's just a natural thing your flesh does. And I guess that's one of the reasons why I don't know how many times it's in the Bible. I've never actually looked, but I know it's there several times, especially in the Psalms where it's written about to meditate on all his wondrous works. You know, if we're constantly thinking about all the great things God has already done, which are written in the Bible for us, but also in your own personal life, you know, and where he's been for you, what he's done for you. You know, that helps me when I think about all what God's already done for me and where he's brought me from. You know, he's not going to fail me now. You know, he's brought me this far. You know, whatever I'm facing is just another trial. And it's like, he's not going to leave me. And he reminds me that he does encourage me that, you know, okay, I'm not going to fail you here either. Just got to hang on and keep believing and keep confessing and just keep, you know, meditating on what he's already done and how great he is. You know, that helps me and it helps, you know, fight back any kind of fear or doubt or worry or whatever. It's like, no, God, you're faithful. You're right. You brought me this far and you're going to keep me going. You've kept me all this way and You know, you're not going to give up on us. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. Then it happened just as he had said. He spoke it first, didn't he? The Lord told Moses to stretch out his hand over the Red Sea so the waters would part for the people to cross. Likely still having feelings of fear and doubt. How many of you would have fear and doubt if the Lord said, stretch your hand over the Red Sea so the waters would part so the people can get crossed over? And you ain't never seen it done before and never heard nobody else do it. Moses did what God said. He believed and trusted in God. And the miracles happened. The people crossed on dry land. And when the Egyptian army tried to follow, the waves fell back on top of them and they drowned. Whew, glory to God. He spoke it and it happened. Now God told him, but he spoke it. And it happened. He confessed it. God's already told us what to do. At other times during his leadership of Israel, Moses' limiting beliefs surfaced and had to be addressed. Moses was a human being, just like you and I. Don't think that one moment of success erased a lifetime of having been programmed with limiting beliefs. The key to his success was trusting God and moving through those false viewpoints one day at a time. He didn't wait until their voice stopped speaking to him. He moved through them, refusing to acknowledge any authority in them. And the underlying quantum truth seen in how Moses responded to limiting beliefs was his recognition that outcomes are not fixed, so that they must happen in the way which seemed apparent. Evidence suggested there was no hope for Israel's survival when Pharaoh's army cornered them against the Red Sea. When he stepped into what looked like an impossible outcome, Moses demonstrated a quantum reality rooted in how God designed life in this world to operate. When he raised that rod up, the waters immediately parted. The land was dried up. And this 1 million plus people went across the Red Sea right then. And then the enemy followed behind them and closed back up on that dry land and those people. And they still have evidence today of when that happened. So many years ago, because one man had faith. Glory to God, man, that just sends chills down me. Glory to God. That's the kind of faith we all have. If you trust God, and we do, we all trust God. You trust Him for your salvation, same thing. Same thing. Same kind of faith. Science has proven that we can influence the quantum fields that underlie physical reality by focusing our thoughts and intentions on a desired result. The Japanese guys just showed us that in that film that Andrew showed us. By speaking to those things, confessing with your mouth, love, we just love you so much. I just want to kiss you and hug you and all those things. Then you tell them, I hate you. I hate you. I hope you die. It did. That's how powerful our words are. Pascal Jordan, a German physicist who was one of the founders of quantum mechanics, wrote, observations not only disturb what has to be measured, they produce it. Where you put your attention reveals your expectation, which is another word for faith. Where you put your attention reveals your expectation, which is another word for faith. Boy, that makes so much sense now. In the language of the Christian faith, we have authority inside the kingdom of God to shift and shape outcomes in the world. We don't just have to wait and see what happens. We could participate in the result. And the more you confess it, the quicker it's going to come about. Faith is a focused intention that requires a willingness to take action in the face of uncertainty. Faith is a focused intention that requires a willingness to take action in the face of uncertainty. Well, Lord, if I put my hand on that person, are they going to get healed? You said, you told me to go over there and pray for them. Are they going to be healed? He wouldn't have sent you over if he wouldn't. Always remember, when God sends you to pray for somebody, it's for a reason. And if they're out there limping or got a bad back or whatever's wrong with them, you know that they're going to be healed because God said. From both a biblical and scientific perspective, an elevated expectation that the circumstances will bend in our favor is an important aspect that empowers us to act as if the outcome we want will manifest even when the surrounding external data suggests otherwise. Did y'all get that? Everybody understand it? I'll read it again then. From both a biblical and scientific perspective, an elevated expectation that the circumstances will bend in our favor, is an important aspect that empowers us to act as if the outcome we want will manifest even when the surrounding external data suggests otherwise. I never will forget the testimony of Kenneth Hagin when he came off a bed of affliction. You remember that? He said, the word says it, bless God, I'm healed. Well, physically, he didn't look like he was healed. But he didn't take that as an answer. He got up, he hobbled himself down to work, and he worked with those guys and them making fun of him all day, every day for a long time. But he said, I'm healed. That's what the word says. The word says it, bless God, I'm healed. And it didn't take long before he was healed. Because he didn't take no for an answer. He trusted God. Don't allow limiting beliefs to have the final word. Don't allow limiting beliefs to have the final word. Well, I don't know if I ought to go to the doctor or not. You trust God, God will heal you. He'll heal you every time. Every time. Every time. Persistently cling to the fact that the outcome you want exists. And even if it would take a miracle to manifest the outcome, you know you live in a place where miracles are always possible. Glory to God. Every day. Woo! Gracious sakes alive. Identifying limiting beliefs can be challenging because they are often deeply ingrained in a person's thinking and behavior patterns. That's so true. In my mind, in your mind, in everybody's mind, we've always grown up with things that we knew back then that don't apply when we come to Christ. The first step to overcoming them is to identify what they are. What's the problem? Why can't I do this? Or why can't this happen? Or why can't this happen? Why, Lord? Why, Lord? Ask him. He'll tell you. What restraining thoughts have come to you during your life? They may have come from your parents, education, church, circumstances, or other significant voices that have spoken into your life. Take your time with this part of the process. That's the counselor inside of you. Who's the counselor inside of us? Somebody can just jump in there and say it. It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? To show you the ways you have been handicapped by damaging beliefs that were imposed on you. Sometimes the messages come from or came from well-intended people, but the damage to you is no less detrimental than it had if it had been intentional. Amen. When you have identified the limiting beliefs, challenge the evidence that supports them. Boy, that's so true there. Did you hear that? When you have identified the limiting beliefs, challenge the evidence that supports them. This is a critical step in dismantling them. It is important to look at what you believe and determine if there is evidence to substantiate it. The goal is to separate what is true from what you may have wrongly believed to be true. Carl Sagan said, the greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It is the illusion of knowledge. Thinking you know everything there is to know about everything there is to know about. That's, you know, some people are like that. Physicist Richard Feynman agreed, the first principle is that you must not fool yourself, and you are the easiest person to fool. Sometimes we can be sure about something when we couldn't be more wrong. For instance, some people who grew up in church believe they don't deserve to have their prayers answered. They were infected with a doctrinal teaching that has left them thinking that they should be thankful they're even going to heaven. They believe they haven't lived a life deserving of divine blessing. Sometimes they even believe that distorted view is humility. How many of you know there's a lot of pastors out there still giving salvation calls to the church that they pastor? They're still giving evangelistic messages every week. And they come up to the altar. They come up to the altar and never get delivered. Until they realize how to, listen, I'm not, all this stuff here, don't get condemnation in what you have done in the past. This is a new day. This is the day that God has made for all of us. This is good stuff. This is teaching us what faith is and what it is to endure in our faith and to trust the Lord implicitly. Implicitly. That's what he wants. He's the one that gets the glory. Not Michael. Until they realize how debilitating that viewpoint is, experiencing a robust faith won't come easily. Are you saying we deserve to go to heaven? One might ask. The question misses the point entirely. A life in grace is not about deserving. Grace is unilateral goodness that comes without merit on the part of the recipient. God gives it to you. It's a gift. How many of you praise God that it is? I do. Glory to God. Challenge the evidence of the limiting beliefs in your life, regardless of where they come from. I'm going to say that again. Challenge the evidence of the limiting beliefs in your life, regardless of where they come from. This can help you to see them differently. It can be the start of a transformation that can release you from being debilitated and free you to a more wide open space than you've ever known. Yeah, Julie?
When you say challenge the evidence of the limiting beliefs in your life, is to me, that's like saying, you know, asking yourself, where did that come from? And is that true? You know, why do I think that? And is it really true?
Yeah.
You know, because it's getting to the root of something that, you know, has been there since, you know, maybe somebody spoke, you know, some curse on you or put you down or said it wasn't possible because, you know, whatever. So I get that totally. You know, that's like just, you know, where did that come from? And is it true? Not according to the word of God. It's not true. But that's like that's a stronghold that's been there, you know.
Yeah. Amen. That's a limit that has limited our belief. It's these old things. And that's why the Lord tells us to read and study the Word of God. And as you read and study the Word of God, the strongholds will come down. Because you start learning what God is all about and how He is, how He works with us. He works with us to make us the humble, holy, powerful man of God, son of God, that He wants. Bearing fruit 100-fold. When you bearing fruit 100-fold, you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. And you're listening to Him. You're hearing Him. Oh, me, where am I? It's in that wide open space those amazing things manifest. And this is a universal truth that applies to everyone. Ooh, my. I'll tell you what, that was a great, to me, that was a great subject right there. That whole part there, limiting beliefs. It should open up your mind to what is limiting your faith. And start putting you on the road to success with God and faith. Develop a new perspective. All right, hang on to your seat. Once you have identified your limiting beliefs and challenged them, everybody know what I'm talking about when I say limiting beliefs? It limits your faith into understanding what God wants for you. Something up here, you know, and I could say something, but I ain't going to say it. I'm going to just let you believe what the Word says. Believe it. Do what the Word says. By His stripes, what is it? You are healed. I have given you all the blessings of heaven. You got all the spiritual blessings of heaven. You have all the gifts of the Spirit. You have all of those things. Okay, develop a new perspective. Yep, all right, now y'all sit up. Here we go. Fixing to go to round two. Once you have identified your limiting beliefs and challenged them, developing a new perspective is important. Having a new perspective enables you to see things differently. And in doing that, you will broaden your view of the world. It will open you to possibilities you haven't considered in the past. How many of you would like to do the things that Jesus did? Yeah, did we all? We all would, wouldn't we? Yeah. There are things in there that people are going to say, well, you can't do that. Well, wait a minute. Here's what it says. It said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. Let me ask you something. Did Jesus get challenged and they were fixing to throw him, stone him and all of that stuff? He just walked right back through him, didn't he? Nobody touched him. Nobody touched him. He knew it wasn't his time and he knew they couldn't lay a hand on him until the time came. And he even knew what time it was. Because the Lord told him. That's what He's going to do with us. You shouldn't have any fear whatsoever. The more you put God in your heart, the less fear you're going to have. Anxiety won't be there. None of that stuff will be there. You'll have a fervor for God that'll astound people. Aren't you afraid? About what? God's with me. He's not only with me, he's in me, and I'm in him. You can tell him that. I'm in him, and he's in me. What am I supposed to be afraid of? They're going to kill me. They ain't going to kill me until it's my time. And then when it's my time, that's okay. I'll just step over into kingdom. I ain't worried about none of that stuff. Okay. Many things will help you to develop a new perspective. But one way that seldom fails is to surround yourself with people who have different outlooks and are willing to challenge your beliefs. How many of you know we all got people like that? So what he's saying here, in my estimation, you just go and show them, hey, look, here's what it says in the Word of God. Is this your standard of living? Is this what you go by to live by, the Word of God? Then if you go by the Word of God and it's the truth, then here's what it says. It goes on and says, it is incredible how much influence the people we spend our time with can influence us. It's easy to be influenced by things that can even seem incidental in our interactions with other people. I am so grateful that I live here in this house. I have learned so much in the last 10 years just by living and watching David. And I'm not saying that he's somebody, you know, up above anybody else, but he's got a little more experience than I do. And I've learned a considerable amount, and I'm glad that the Lord put me with him, because I see him doing something, and I'm doing something different. I can say, how come he's doing that, and I'm doing it? Then I go check the Word and find out. In one scientific experiment, participants were shown videos of people with different emotional expressions and were told to mimic those expressions. Results showed that participants reported feeling the same emotions as the individuals in the videos, demonstrating emotional contagion through facial mimicry. Just mimicking another person's facial expression made them feel the same as that person. My, my. In another study, participants were exposed to recordings of people with different emotional tones of voice and were asked to rate their own emotions after exposure. And results showed that participants reported feeling the same emotions as the people in the recording, demonstrating emotional contagion through their tone of voice. I was watching something earlier today about this kid on America's Got Talent. And this kid had a voice range that was, I've never heard of. He sounded like a girl when he first started out. He was singing that song, Hallelujah, I believe is what it was. But he was singing the girl's part and the boy's part too. But when he sang, it was awesome. And the people out in the audience, where tears were streaming down their face. Even the judges, that they were just going nuts over this kid. I say kid, he was probably 20 years old. And his mama was sitting there, out there, just to the side out there watching, and she had tears streaming down. Tears started coming down my face. I said, what in the world? Because it was an emotional thing that was happening. Anyway. There's just something to show you what happens to us. If you want a new perspective, consider carefully who you allow to influence you. Listen to teachers who uplift you. Read books that introduce you to God's way of thinking. Find friends who nudge you upward and not pull you down. Open yourself to new possibilities. Don't accept the notion that something is impossible just because you can't see a clear path toward its manifestation. Great things materialize when we look beyond the material possibilities into the world where all things are possible. Anybody want to comment? Got anything they want to say? Is this helping y'all? This happened to me again. Boy, y'all look bored stiff. No, you're not. You're not bored stiff. You're excited, glory to God. Okay. Some people have been indoctrinated into a fear of failure that dooms them from the start. Get out of that. Some people have been indoctrinated into a fear of failure that dooms them from the start. How many of you ever been around somebody that's negative? Oh, I just can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. No. I don't have enough money to do this. I don't have enough money to do that. I don't. I can't. Oh, man, they are such a drag on you. Some people have been indoctrinated into a fear of failure that dooms them from the start. So they look for guaranteed ways to ensure their desired outcome before they move forward. You got to be bold in your faith. You can't wait until you see something happen in order to believe. You got to believe before. That's what faith is. Consequently, many get stuck in analysis paralysis. I like that word, don't y'all? Analysis paralysis. And never make progress. Refuse to allow that fear-driven line of thought to guide your direction. There will always be naysayers talking to you externally and internally. Pay no attention to them. Pay no attention to them. Get away from them. They'll drag you down with them. How will we ever learn if we only allow ourselves to be exposed to influences that do nothing but strengthen our existing paradigm? Let me read that again. How will we ever learn if we only allow ourselves to be exposed to influences that do nothing but strengthen our existing paradigm? There's no growth without change. However scary it may feel at times, we must move outside of our comfort zone if we're going to grow. The only way you're going to grow is get off your hind end and get out there and start doing it, what the word says. You know, start believing. If you've got a sick child, put your hand on him and pray for him. If you've got a sick mom and dad, put your hand on him and pray for him. God will heal him. There's no growth without change. However scary it may feel at times, we must move outside of our comfort zone if we're going to grow. Nelson Mandela once said, "It always seems impossible until it's done." Ooh, that's awesome. That's an awesome thing. It always seems impossible until it's done. That reminds me of that kid with those feet that were like this. They were like this. They were like this, toe to toe. Left foot, right foot. He was walking like this. Little about a four-year-old kid over in Memphis. And we put our hands, we walked in there and said, what's wrong with that boy? Well, they're going to have to break his legs. Going to have to break his ankles one time and let it set and break it again to pull it on around and reset it and let it heal. And so we've got to do the other the same way. Four times. Breaking his kid's feet, his ankles, in order to make his feet straight. And we asked her, said, why don't we pray for him and ask God to heal him? Yeah, that'd be okay. That'd be fine. Boy, we started praying for that kid, and those feet started popping, poop, 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 came out straight like that. Mama's going back behind, she's going nuts. Yeah, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, praise God. And we told that kid, now walk down through there, boy. And he started walking, he went to running. This little 4-year-old kid, and people in the whole place was just started praising God. And that kid come back, and as he's coming back, because his brain had told him that he was supposed to walk like that, he started putting his feet back in. Mama went over and jerked him up, gave him a little pat on the butt, and said, "Boy, don't you never ever, as long as your eyes is open and your skin is black, do that again." He says, put your feet right straight, and don't you ever put them back like they was again. And boy, he did like that, and he started walking straight again. It was awesome. It was awesome. And we had a wonderful time. Everybody there that needed healing got healed that day. But anyway, that's what, and I look, I'm telling myself, this is, thank you, Jesus. Because I didn't know what was going to happen. I'll be honest with you. My faith really wasn't in the right place at the right time. But I had a friend of mine that was. He was in the right place. We both got that done. Yeah, that's what happens a lot of times. He'll have faith for something, and you'll have faith for something, and then we start seeing that. Well, it doesn't make any difference. We both can say the same thing, and it's going to happen. Praise God. How will we ever learn if we only allow ourselves to be exposed to influences that do nothing but strengthen our existing paradigm? There's no growth without change. However scared may feel at times, we must move outside of our comfort zone if we're going to grow. I've already read that, but it bears hearing again. Nelson Mandela once said, "It always seems impossible until it's done." Jesus said, "One could make a mountain throw itself into the sea if that person does not doubt in their heart but believes that what they say will happen." Align your beliefs with the world where impossibility yields to him possibility. And watch what happens. Every possible outcome already exists. So embrace that fact in order to activate your faith. Faith is a wonderful thing. It can help a lot of people. It can help you. It can help us. It can help our family members. It can help the town that you're in, the city that you're in. In Matthew 9:29, Jesus said that it will happen the way you think it will happen. Your outlook on your circumstances can immeasurably transform your life for the better when you practice faith grounded in knowledge of the love of God. An enlightened outlook will give birth to an expectant outlook. An enlightened outlook will give birth to an expectant outlook. Anybody got any questions or any comments? But there is also such a thing as negative faith called fear. Well, what happens if he don't get healed? Well, what happens if I go over there? What am I supposed to say to him? What am I, or her? What happens if? What if? Well, what if God fell off a throne? Is he going to do that? No, ain't going to happen. But there is also such a thing as negative faith called fear. Its power is every bit as great as positive faith. When Job found himself in a catastrophic circumstances, he spoke a very telling statement when he said in Job 3:25-26, "For the thing which I fear cometh upon me, that which I am afraid of cometh unto me, and I am not at ease, neither am I quiet, neither have I rest, but trouble cometh." What you think becomes the rails that bring what you get in your life, into your life. What you think becomes the rails that bring what you get into your life. Romans 8:5 says in the English Standard Bible, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Think this and get this. Think that and get that. That's how the Bible says it works in everyday life. For example, a person with a positive outlook on a job interview can confidently approach the interview, express themselves clearly, and present their skills and qualifications effectively. On the other hand, a person with a negative outlook may feel anxious and perform poorly during the interview, reducing their chances of being offered a job. Our outlook also affects our resilience in facing challenges and setbacks. A person with a positive outlook is more likely to see challenges as opportunities, opportunities for growth and to learn from their experiences. In contrast, a person with a negative outlook may become discouraged and give up when faced with obstacles. How many of you know somebody like that? In contrast, a person with a negative outlook may become discouraged and give up when faced with even just a few obstacles. How does quantum science inform and fortify faith? You know that the universe is not solid and that particles and matter exist in a state of potential called superposition until they are observed. Remember we talked about the cloud the last time and how that when people start looking at it, it forms a ball. It gets into one single ball. This observer effect demonstrates the way that focused intention has a physical impact on the world around us. At the moment we focus our intention on a specific outcome or goal, we start to influence the potential state of reality. Woo, glory to God. That's good stuff, ain't it? My goodness. This idea suggests that our thoughts and intentions can shape and create the reality we experience. Thoughts and intentions are elements of faith. They can be identified by where you place your attention. Where you look reveals what you expect. And what you expect is what you will likely experience. So much evidence now exists to show that what we focus on often transitions into actual experience. End of part one. Yeah, Missy.
Okay, help me, Lord, to say this, right? There was something that really caught me, and I can't remember exactly how it was said on Tuesday. It was like instantly the Lord gave me a revelation. And it goes along with this right here, where you look reveals what you expect, and what you expect is what you will likely experience. And it was something, the wording here earlier about observing, it was like, something doesn't exist. Something you're observing or whatever, you observe something you can't see. Oh, Lord, help me.
You want me to read it?
It was from Tuesday. Something about when you observe something, it doesn't exist until you observe it, or something to that effect. I forget how it was said.
Well, anyway, it exists in a state that not doing anything.
Right. Anyway.
It's a non-observable state.
Something like that. But instantly I got this revelation about something I've really been struggling with. And what the Lord showed me is when you go to look in the mirror at your face, you're going to see blemishes. Because you're looking in the mirror to see them. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in other words, what the Lord said is, don't look in the mirror to see what's there, because you're believing that they aren't there. You're believing your face is healed. So don't even look thinking you're going to see them. In other words, getting what I'm saying?
I was going to ask you to make a word, but yeah. Missy, you're saying just exactly what David says all the time. Look mm-hmm. in the mirror and see Jesus. Look right, in the mirror exactly. And if you've got problems with your face, with whatever it is, don't look at yourself. Look at that pretty face. Glory to God. Look at that lovely, lovely face. My goodness sakes alive. You're so pretty. Right. Do like yeah. that Japanese guy did.
I mean, lots of times I've often said to my, you know, I have blemishless skin, just like Jesus. When I look in the mirror, I see Jesus. But the Lord just gave me a deeper revelation of that. I don't know how to explain it, but it was just like, you know, he just really hit it home to me. Because before he had said to me, you know, don't be looking in the mirror.
Well,
you know.
Just look in there and say, man, my face is so right. smooth. Exactly. It's smooth as a new baby's butt.
Yeah, okay. But anyway.
Well, you know how.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But, yeah, it was just like when that was said, it just really hit me.
Yeah. Amen. I agree. Go ahead, Jimmy. Go ahead, Julie.
Sorry, I was typing. Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
What Missy was saying, just got something, just a short little testimony to me. I've had a little trial with ants in my apartment. Now, they started when it was really hot here, and it's been dry and all that. Well, they were looking for water, and they were in my kitchen. And, you know, I was like, okay, I got to deal with this. And I was, you know, cleaning and killing ants. And it got to be such a habit that every time I got up in the morning, I'd go in my kitchen, hey, looking for ants. Hey, are they here? Are you here to kill? You know, are they gone? Well, I kept going in the kitchen expecting to find them. You know, so it's kind of similar what you're saying. You know, when you go in the mirror and looking to see if there's a blemish, you know, I'm looking at, you know, is there any ants in my kitchen? And like every time I go in the kitchen to cook or make some tea or whatever I was going to do, or just, you know, I'd be looking, hey, is there any ants anywhere? And Lord, show me. You don't have any more ants, remember? They're gone. That's right. They're gone. I keep saying there's no more ants and I'm not going to see any more ants. But I tell you, but it was a trial, you know, because then I was starting to think about, you know, Michael, yours and Dave's little testimony with the was it millipedes, you know, that they were just kind of like there, but then they weren't really there, but you were seeing them. And I'm like, is this like a, you know, didn't you guys have like millipedes or centipedes or whatever they were?
Oh, millipedes, yeah.
Millipedes, yeah. You know, but they really weren't there, but you were seeing them. And that's what I started thinking. It's like, okay, these ants really aren't here. Why am I seeing them? They're not here. You know, and it was just kind of a trial for me. It's like, quit looking for the ants. They're gone, and they're not coming back.
Quit digging up your seed to see if it sprouted.
Yeah, right, exactly. Look and see if it's still there. No, they're not coming back. My kitchen's clean everywhere now. Thank you, Lord. All my cabinets.
Thank you, Lord.
So, you know, there's some positive things that came out of that. I'd get some extra cleaning done, but it was just still, you know, it was just out of habit. It was out of habit just because I was just, you know, I don't like that kind of stuff in my kitchen. I don't like that, but they're gone. Thank you, Lord. And I'm putting the chat though, it's like, we have beautiful and youthful skin. So there are no blemishes and there's no wrinkles and there's no flaws and we're restored. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Everything that the enemy has stolen has already been restored in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? That's right, Cheryl. Hallelujah to the Lamb. that was slain for us. Glory be to God. All right. I'm going to believe something. I want y'all to believe with me. Lord, I thank you that when we quit tonight, that my internet is going to be just like it is in the morning time after the Wednesday broadcast. It's just going to go quickly. Going to be uploaded quickly, and it's going to be downloaded quickly in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, it ain't going to take me till 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock to get this thing up to Casey in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, I believe it. Glory to God. I believe it. I ain't going to dig up my seed either. It's going to work. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got a... Yeah, Judy.
No, if anyone's got a prayer request or anything they want to share, go ahead. But I wanted to play a song if you would allow me to do that.
Okay. Okay. Josie has... Father God, praise you for blessing each and every person affected by the recent floods in Spain and anywhere else in the world affected by flood. Praise you, Father, for your protection and your love and angels sent. Praise you, Lord, that there are millions out there praying for them and their loved ones. We give you the highest praise and glory forever, Lord, for being with us always. Amen, Jesse. Thank you, Father, for doing that for them. And I praise you, Father, for the Trump organization that is raising money to send over to North Carolina and Florida and Georgia because of the floods and the things that damage that they've gotten in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Has anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Somebody, you had a song, you say? Okay. Go ahead and sing it.
Well, you all sang with me, but, you know, I was going to play it on YouTube. That's okay.
Go ahead. You're ready. It's ready. It's just all set up.
Experiment proof that words and intention actually have a physical impact on water.
How many of you guys are thankful for the blood of Jesus? So grateful for his blood. Thank you for your grace. conqueror, I'm a winner. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I have dominion and I walk in authority. I've been washed in the blood. I'm kept by his love. I'm filled with the spirit and by his stripes.
Man, how appropriate could it be? That's a good song. I like that song. Gets me pumped up. All right, anybody else before we get ready to leave here? Amen. Everybody, I hope everybody got an uplift in their faith tonight because I did. I always do when I read these things. And we need to keep it, get it in our spirit to believe that we could do anything that God did with his mercy and his grace. Amen. Well, Lord, I just thank you so much for these wonderful teachings that we get on faith and quantum physics that proves your faith. Not that it has to be proven. We proved it time and time again without this teaching, but it helps people to understand the natural is also a part of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all be blessed, you hear? We'll continue with part two come next Tuesday. That part two booklet. All right. Wait a minute. Boy, I almost did it.